Welcome to The Lost Aughts, a millennial that missed the millennium, an exclusive interview series presented by the Pop Culture Placebo PCP podcast. This podcast series explores the intersection of pop culture and social justice by shedding light on social isolation and helping reintegrate an inmate who has been in prison for over 10 plus years back into pop culture. Join pop culture specialists Lisa Ledesma and Pierre Vincent on a journey to rediscover the pop culture moments that defined the early 2000s, including Beanie Babies, Britney Spears, and the internet. Don't miss this unique and compelling series, which offers an insightful and thought-provoking look at the cultural landscape of the early 2000s.
Greetings, inmate 63357.
Good afternoon.
I am Gleep Glop, paroled red 3.145. I will be your personal parole unit until your term has been successfully completed. Records show inmate Ben has been incarcerated approximately 10 years, 5 months, and are scheduled for discharge.
That is correct.
Your incarcerated term exceeded the social integration 10-year threshold. Inmate has been granted a social reintegration specialist to assist with cultural and social reintegration for the years 1999 through 2010. Do you agree with this assessment, inmate?
Yes, I do. And thank you once again for this opportunity. It means a lot for me and my family.
Social reintegration for inmates 63,357 begins in 3, 2, 1...
Well, head it over to the list of music that's come out. If you remember, January 30th, Baby One More Time hit the charts, held number one spot. So in music, Britney Spears had popped out her first single, like fucking fresh face 16. She carried on the number one spot until February 6th. And Angel of Mine by Monica is going to hold the top all the way through February, the beginning of March.
I heard a name on the radio. It's Avril
Lavigne. Avril Lavigne.
Avril Lavigne.
We're not to Avril yet.
Is this a name I've heard?
No,
because
I love it.
Things do come up in my daily life, like listening to the radio, and I'm like, "Who? What is this?" So there was a commercial for like the State Fair, and it had a Flo Rida, and I was like, "I don't know." I'd ask my wife,
"Who's Flo Rida?"
And she's like, "Well, you know, it's like Florida. It's supposed to be Florida." I did not realize that either.
Next month, the number one song is "Believe" by Cher.
What? Number one? Still good for her, dude.
Number one for 4 weeks. She holds in 1999. 4 fucking weeks. So like we're gonna hit like more pop, like Angel of Mine. I mean, Baby One More Time is obviously iconic, but like so far we've had like Have You Ever by Brandy and Angel of Mine, but those are, I don't know, those didn't really stand the test of time. A lot of the shit that comes, some of it will stand the test of time. Some of it will, at some point, Santana and Rob Thomas are gonna hold the fucking, they're gonna hold the number one spot in a fucking vice grip for the end of the year, dude. Santana and Rob Thomas coming out and having a fucking huge hit in 1999, to me, it would be the equivalent of like Harry Styles and like Britney Spears coming out with a song right now. So it's going to grab both people. It's going to grab people who grew up, who are a little like Cher or Santana. They grew up like a few decades ago.
Isn't that the epitome of 1999 though?
What? Rob Thomas and Santana?
Because you had that, and then you had, what was the other one? The last month's one?
Oh, R. Kelly and Celine Dion, I'm Your Angel, which I still haven't heard that fucking song, but that is so 99. The cool thing about this is we are transitioning out of the night. Like, it doesn't start to feel like the 2000s, I'd say, until 98 and 99. Music-wise, the last thing that I have to drop is February 23rd, 1999. You know what album comes out?
What's up?
Slim Shady LP, baby. Our first little bite into Eminem. dude. That shit fucked up the world too. Remember, I got in trouble for downloading the lyrics. Like, my grandparents had like one of those Macs that was colored and bulbous. You know what I'm talking about? It didn't have a tower. I think that was the coolest thing.
Yeah, it was just all like one weird like bubble unit thing. Yeah, I remember that.
Yeah, and they had one of those, and I used that to fucking search up the lyrics of My Name Is and and print them out, and I got in so much trouble for listening to that, for like, because you know, you press print and it won't print and you're like, fuck. So you go to bed and then like later somebody fixes the printer and everything that's been queued would like spit out. He makes a bunch of pop culture references that are pretty crazy. Like, he mentions Nine Inch Nails, which was obviously popular at the time. Were you a Nine Inch Nails person?
I don't know what I do. I get this question a lot.
Do you like Nine Inch Nails? That's the question you get a lot.
Like, what kind of music I'm into? I don't know what. I just listen to music.
You're so weird. I do not. I have always thought people who answer that way are straight up psychopaths. So I don't know. I do not understand. I do not understand.
Because I just listen to a lot of weird shit. I just get on like a kick and I'll just listen to it.
I love Nine Inch Nails. Did you know Nine Inch Nails is just Trent Reznor? Like, there's no other technical band members. I think like there are obviously other musicians he tours with when he tours, but when he makes the music, it's just him. He also mentions Spice Girls. What I'm thinking is, like, everybody he mentions, like, should be people that, like, were very present at the time of that time. You know what I mean? They're not from 99, but they're in the zeitgeist or whatever. But anyway, this is the year that gave us Eminem, which for me is, like, the greatest fucking thing ever. My favorite part of the year, personally. It's just crazy to think that there was a world where he just didn't exist. I don't know. That blows my mind. Talk about punk rock, dude. As far as, like, embodying the spirit of punk, I don't... Like, he's the most punk motherfucker for sure of this era.
I got a good story for the third album. I don't know when the third album came out. 2004, 2005, maybe?
Maybe, mid-2000s. The Marshall Mathers. No, the Eminem Show was the third one. So it went Slim Shady LP, Marshall Mathers LP, and then Eminem Show.
So you know how I heard that? Like, all we had was, like, just AM, FM radios. One of these, like, AM radio station DJ guys got a bootleg thing off, like, the internet or something. So, like, everyone just, like, tuned in and shit. So it's, like, the whole fucking cell block just listening to that. Because it's new music that we, there was no other way anybody was ever gonna, you know, realistically be able to hear this.
Yeah. That's crazy. That's so funny. Good for that guy. Some pirate radio guy. It's just like, I play bootleg versions of whatever.
Yeah. I know the music gets pretty bad for like a while, from my understanding of like the 2000s and the aughts or whatever.
Yeah, you didn't miss much music-wise.
Like, I have heard.
Well, okay, but you missed Eminem.
I have heard some of this stuff, and I was just like, I miss Eminem for the most part.
There was some really good shit, and then there was a lot of bad shit.
Rob Schneider has a big movie coming out this year. What is that? What is that I hear
99?
About?
99? Rob Schneider, 1999?
Yeah, I gave it a goog.
Why are you so obsessed with Rob Schneider?
Because I was wondering, because this is so ridiculous, right? He's just everything during this time period. All the different movies I've seen, because no reference to it. You say he was right. I mean, he was like on SNL and stuff like that.
Yes.
And like bit
he was a cast member.
Prior to me going to prison.
Oh, yeah. I mean?
So he was around, but he wasn't like making movies or anything at
Deuce
that point.
Deuce Bigelow, Male Gigolo came out.
Yeah. Those are the ones I'm talking about. It's like that.
How did this movie get made?
Because
he was friends with Adam Sandler, huh? That's got to be it. Dude, comedies these days were so bad. Oh, my God. Deuce Bigelow, European Gigolo. I cannot believe this is hilarious. Some of these movies are fucking hard to watch. The way that they're weird. They don't stand up to time. And
they
like, I'm not offended, but it's just like not funny anymore. It's not like I'm like, they should delete it from history. It's so offensive, but it's just like not funny. Like, it used to be, we could just laugh at like people who like looked weird and are different. I don't feel like we don't have as mean of a sense of humor as a culture anymore, which I like, you know? We're not quite as like mean spirited. I was listening to a thing about Shallow Hal the other day. I don't know what year that was, but that's one that's just like,
I don't know what year that came out. I have seen that, and that's cringy. Even when it came out, totally. It was cringy. 100%. I'll be honest with you. It did have Jack Black, and then you gotta love Jack Black.
And it had Jason Alexander, remember? And I liked Gwyneth Paltrow. That was like Gwyneth Paltrow. Wasn't that pre-Goop? So she was just like a pretty actress.
What's Goop?
Goop is Gwyneth Paltrow's company.
Is she the one that puts the thing in the vagina?
That's very Goop.
Which one's?
Yeah.
Is it?
It's a lot of like wellness.
You know what I'm talking about?
The crystal. The jade egg.
Crystal egg?
The jade egg.
Yeah.
It's a lot of wellness shit. Wellness in, I'm making quote marks because there's nothing, it doesn't actually do anything for you. None of the shit she spews out. It's a lot of like essential oil type shit.
I don't shove rocks up my ass. I'm not going to get better.
Let's get this. Hi. If you are like me, you're tired of running out of objects around the house to safely insert into your anus. That is until I found Sloppy Rocks by Gloop for my daily anal wellness routine. With Sloppy, you can harness the command of vitality work, crystal soothing, and a Kegel-like physical preparation. Simply insert the Sloppy Rocks into your anus and feel the connection with your body by squeezing and releasing the Sloppy Rocks. Sloppy Rocks by Gloop. Why get your rocks off when you can get your Sloppy Rocks in?
Sloppy Rocks by Gloop, a division of Limited Intelligence Wellness and Gravy Division.
Dude, episode one, Star Wars. 99 is the year they gave us Jar Jar Binks, bro.
And I see Annie. Those later.
Yeah, but that was like a big deal in pop culture. The last Star Wars movies were made so long ago.
Do you know that I went and seen the last one in theater?
Oh, really?
It was like 96. I was like 4 years old, or it's, yeah, 4 years old, 5 years old.
Yeah, dude.
It took me to that.
You were not 4 or 5 in 96.
Oh, 86. No, the last
I said 96.
You're right. I might have said 96.
I was like, wait a minute.
What am I fucking?
Yeah, 86. That sounds better. I was like, wait a minute.
Some kind of age scientist or something? What is this?
But yeah, dude, that was a big deal.
Also got my first tattoo was Yoda. One of my first major tattoos.
Yeah, I know you're a big Star Wars guy. You know I'm a Star Trek gal. How about, like, people listening, like, can't see you, so they don't realize, like, you have tattoos literally on your neck and face. Like, you are so tatted up.
To my defense, a lot of the tattoos I have, my mother gave me. So
I know. You got half of them from your mom and half in prison.
Yup.
Classy man. But yeah, it was a big deal. Pokemon movie was coming out, I guess.
There was a Pokemon with it at that point? Because I didn't hear about Pokemon until, obviously, like, years later.
It says American children were anticipating it. I could look up whenever it was. But I feel like maybe it was out in Japan and it was coming to America either that year or the next year. American Pie came out that year. Talk about something that doesn't fucking hold up. Have you seen American Pie?
I have seen American Pie, but I have not seen it.
I'm not even talking about fucking the pie. That's the part that doesn't hold up. I'm talking about the fact that it starts with him.
I don't remember any part of it. Oh my God. Really. Jerking off, I thought. Just the whole thing. The only part I remember is the pie part.
I don't even know if this is the very beginning, but it's the part that's seared into my memory is that he gets the, like, a hot student from another country. What is this called? Exchange student, Nadia, to go to his house and, like, do homework with him. And then he sets up a webcam to watch her in his bedroom because she's going to change. And he fucking casts her changing from a secret webcam to the whole school, which is really fucked up. And, like, he didn't mean to, but he still meant to cast it to his friend's house. So him and his, like, four friends could, like, sit around and watch this high school girl. I mean, they're high school boys, but still, this girl get naked, like, and be secretly filmed. And it's like a comedy routine. Like, it's one of those things still where I'm just like, not funny anymore. I don't find it funny.
It was illegal now,
thank
too.
God.
Like, back then, it was like,
was it technically illegal?
No.
It was just this very boys will be boys mentality about that. Like, well, boys want to see boobs. What can you do? That's how boys are. To me, it's actually really fucked up to boys, too, because let's give them some fucking credit. We don't need to, like, treat them like little, like, monsters who have no control over their hormones. Like, bullshit. You know? It's bullshit.
Yeah. We will ask to see boobs. We don't need to.
Well, you can also find... Oh, my God. It's just so pervert. It was such a perverted movie. It's just not so funny anymore.
Did you know the majority of body washes are considered hygiene detergents, or soap, meant to clean your body? What does that mean in a world of ecological and social collapse? That's why I only bathe in the best. I'm not just the owner, I'm a devoted daily user, which is why my family only bathes in 100% fresh-caught grass-fed free-range gravy. Le Bath Gravy is the greater, greasier gravy to get her better, cleaner. Don't forget to try our new express code for a redundant, overly complicated, and almost impossible checkout experience and get one bottle for the price of two, but act in 5 minutes ago and you'll receive a special gift card that says your credit card has been stolen and your order was lost in transit. Le Bath Gravy, the greater, greasier gravy to get her better, cleaner. Brought to you by Limited Intelligence Technologies Gravy Division. Le Gravy, we are what is behind every dissatisfied customer's frown.
And anyway, so yeah, that's what's going on in movies and music. I just realized, like, I haven't even looked up what was on TV at that time.
I'm gonna say Friends was on.
Delve into that. Oh, Friends for sure. Little Bill. Remember Little Bill?
No, what was Little Bill?
Bill Cosby and like a animated Little Bill. Remember that?
I'm gonna say Little Bill done got him in trouble. That's all I gotta say. Is that what you're talking about?
That was fucking great. The other ones I'm seeing, like Farscape. Have you seen Farscape?
No, that's not familiar too. I wasn't watching much TV during this time period.
Oh my God. Well, Farscape is like sort of a, it's Star Trek-y kind of. Right, but not more Stargate-y, I guess. It's not serial. I think it's more of like a one story over the whole thing instead of like, you know, Star Trek. But it's like a ship in space, blah blah blah, wormholes, all kinds of shit. But it's Jim Henson made the character. It's the Jim Henson company who made the character. Like the aliens and shit are puppets.
Nice.
Yeah,
I do love me some puppets.
So it's like, yeah, so like there's an alien aboard. Imagine if like Worf was like, instead of being like a man in a suit, he was like a puppet. There's like puppets that they interact with, like aliens are puppet. Like, I don't know. It's fucking great. Sopranos, obviously, I told you, it just came out. Oh my God. Did you know there was a Redwall TV series?
A Redwall?
Redwall? You never read Redwall?
No.
Yeah. SpongeBob, Amanda Show. Oh my God. Ed, Edd n Eddy. You're not going to remember any of this shit, huh?
I don't know. Yeah,
the weird thing about this era is that I was a kid. So I remember a lot of the. Angela Anaconda. I just had a memory unlocked.
What is that? That's a good porn name.
It's a super weird kid show. That is so fucking funny. I'm unlocking so many memories looking at this. Anyway, yeah, I guess TV was going good. Some good shit.
Thank you for watching Spectral View Televised Vision. SVTV, your number one choice when it comes to interdimensional spectral news and entertainment. SVTV, the official home of Flea Flooped Esplorts. Introspectral and dimensional travel for SVTV, provided by Magical Time Gravy and LI Media Podcasts by Limited Intelligence Technologies. Limited Intelligence Technologies. With our no money back guarantee hidden in the small print, you can always rest assured that our top priority is always us.
Dude, do you remember TV scheduling and like how you knew how good a show was?
You had books. You had a book. You could buy a book and it would tell you what's going to be on TV next month.
The TV Guide. Yeah, you had to have a TV Guide. I mean, or you could just turn the TV on and just be wild. Just be fucking random, I guess. No, the thought of watching TV that way.
No, I mean, you could watch the channel. You could watch that TV channel for like a half hour to try to figure out what the fuck was going to be on the next 2 hours.
We honestly didn't usually have a TV Guide. I got to go back to 99 how it was, because I did have TV back then. And yeah, you had a TV Guide. I just remember how like you could tell how good a show was, where it was getting placed in the knowledge, the structure of TV and like how it works, and like whether it starts at this time of year at this time, that means they have like a lot of faith in it. And like if it's, it was so weird. Remember primetime TV? They would put shit on specifically. It was like,
that's how you knew what was good. Yeah, it was Thursdays.
Yeah, weekdays between like 8, because the news would be on, the 6 o'clock news would be on. And so
yeah, and they had a captive audience, because where else were you gonna go? You couldn't go to the internet.
No, everybody popped on the 6 o'clock news, or you might stay up and watch the 10 o'clock news, or maybe you're a morning news person and you just watch it every morning, but you're gonna turn on the news came on consistently. You know what I mean? There was morning news, but it wasn't a 24-hour news cycle. If something crazy happened, it would be like breaking news. They would break in to what you were watching to be like, this is so important, we're stopping the show,
interrupting your regularly scheduled broadcast of breaking news. Dun, 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 dun. And then it would be like something that we wouldn't even fucking blink at today. You know what I mean? There's a cow on the interstate. What are we gonna do? Now they could be like 20 cows.
With AR-15s, and then we'd just be like, another night in America. Who's arming their cows? Yeah, dude. But the lack of the 24-hour news cycle is kind of a trip. It's really hard to imagine the world without that now. It wasn't available all the time. There was no, I'm trying to think, like, you could turn on a police scanner.
If you wanted to know what was happening right now, like if news broke, there's no way you could find out until you waited for the news.
Yeah, or the newspaper in the morning, even farther back, is how it used to be. It was once a day, right? You know? So I don't know. And then it moved to being 4
4 times a day. And the next thing you know, we have this news 24/7. I don't know. What's better? It was better before. Was it better before? I don't want to get trapped in the thinking that like it's always better before, because that is just not true.
I think it depends on what's your definition of better.
True.
Was it better for humanity? Better. It was a better concept. What did we do with that power and information? Kind of fucked it up. That's pretty true. Bad. Didn't really fucking handle that little piece of fucking technology very well. Because it could have been awesome, really. Yeah. It could have like united and like kind of.
News also used to take pride in being like non-biased.
News.
In being like.
Being actual.
Just reporting facts. Like that's a reputable news source, was like unbiased. They reported facts that they could verify, not just opinions and thoughts about things, actual facts.
FactsOnly.com Gleep Glop app. At FactsOnly Gleep Glop, our goal is to equip people with the facts to empower them to make truly uninformed decisions about unimportant matters. We do this by connecting real-life smart people to you on your smartphone. Science expert people in every style, from math to space to nature, are now at your fingertips.
Fact only. Why are some birds flightless?
A bird might come if you use it in the grasslands.
Quickly find answers to troublesome questions and details.
Fact only. Did theoretical physicist Albert Einstein believe in interdimensional travel being possible?
Interdimensional portal. Not a thing. You would have to light them and go through them, and you would not know where to go.
All science advice is from peer-reviewed studies, so you don't have to worry about the accuracy of the answers. And if you're not 100% satisfied with the inaccuracy of service, we will refund your bill after a short, grueling adjudication process.
Fact only. How far is the moon from Earth?
It has fire and it gives light to every planet. And the closest one might catch on fire.
Well, that's sensible.
Research from FactsOnly Gleep Glop app have been cited by a disarray of unnoticeable organizations and individuals, taking the guesswork out of thinking for yourself.
FactsOnly Gleep Glop app is powered by LI Technology, Limit Intelligence Technology, where your personal data is always in senseless hands.
Do you want to talk about chat rooms in the 90s? You don't know about chat rooms. Wait, there must have been chat rooms.
Was there a difference between AIM or whatever that is, the instant messaging, and an email?
An email, you know what an email is. You know, you send it to one person, or do you know what it? No, I'm just clarifying. AIM was like, it was like the text on your phone.
You could talk to multiple
people? It was like the
people?
Text on your phone. That's a good thing of it. It's like the text on your phone, and you only had people who also had AIM, and it was on your computer, but you used your phone line.
Was it any quicker?
It was instant messaging. So it was like texting.
Then an email? But email's pretty instant. It's going to travel the
same.
Yeah,
but on AIM, okay, so there's so much more to it.
You know what I mean? So just wait in your email. Just open email, man. Just wait for it to do bing bong, and then you get there.
Email
boom,
was
got
different
mail.
Back then. Email was not like, email was way more.
Yeah, I've seen Meg Ryan.
No, but emailing was like proper. You know, it was like sending a letter would be today. Like it was formal, is what I should say. It was formal. Like when you emailed people back then, you like said dear whatever, and you signed off. Like it was not. You didn't email people like text. You wouldn't just be like, okay, well, what are you up to, and like send it in an email. Like you still kind of wouldn't do that.
It was culturally seen.
It's still a little bit more formal, right? The other difference, though, at least for the kids of 99, was that it came in this little box on your computer, and you could like put your name to whatever you wanted. So you had a handle, which is kids love having, you know, but we didn't have Facebook and MySpace and all these like ways to like be like that. That was your little online persona, but people knew who you were, and you would have like an away message, or you'd have like a quote, right? So if people like went to like ping you and like bring up your name, and it was like the very bare minimum of what like social media has become today. If you strip social media down to like brass tacks, because that's kind of what it felt like in like a really old school way. It was the first time I remember like expressing myself on the internet through like some sort of You could even call them memes because there were like quotes that went around, right? And that's kind of a meme if it gets changed around like by person to person, like passed through pop culture. That's meme. So it was like the beginning time I remember, like you could use little, well, there weren't emojis, but you would use, you know, little smiley faces. There were emoticons existed. So I don't know. It was cool. It was cool. And it wasn't, I don't remember it being strangers. I remember it being like your friends, like you texted.
It had to be people.
But I think you could add like random people's handles if you met them in like a chat room. I could be wrong. I wish somebody else was here who would rename.
Dude, it says MySpace came out in 99.
I have no.
Is that real? Bluetooth became to be.
I didn't see any of those things until like 2010. Oh my God.
Bluetooth has gotten so much better. I know. That's what's so weird. You didn't see the gradual rise of social media.
Yeah.
You just came out and everybody was connected.
I heard about it.
Yeah. Dude, when Facebook first came out, you couldn't get it unless you were a college student. You needed a college email. It was like a long time when like people wanted a Facebook, like you couldn't even get it. So you had to be
when I got it, I didn't know nothing. I didn't know that the cell phone thing, the internet thing, I didn't quite understand. Like I knew what the internet was, but I didn't understand. Like they said, oh, you can watch fucking shit on there, but you can watch it on your phone. I didn't understand what that meant, like the Googling or the looking things up on your phone, like searching. I'm like, what can you search? Because I still had like the rudimentary brain of there ain't nothing fucking on there. What the fuck are you looking for? You know what I mean? Because in the 90s, mid-90s, early 90s, there wasn't much on there. Travel guides and fucking, you know what I mean? Like weird book repositories or something. Well, there wasn't much actual information on there.
And anybody that was putting anything on the internet
off the computer was a computer person.
Like you didn't have just regular. Like,
Why would you want that information? There's nothing on there. You know what I mean? So it was a hard concept. There was cool stuff.
There was cool shit on there.
Like I use it all day long now, but I couldn't fathom what that meant. And I was just walking right into this. This is a society. They were explaining to me the society I was entering. You know what I mean?
Yeah. I wonder if I got to do a deep dive on the what kind of internet shit was there.
I mean, Amazon was around. So
was Amazon around?
Amazon was.
I don't know if Amazon 96. Was around in 99.
It used to be just.
Oh, so and they were just a bookstore, right?
Yeah, it was just like.
I remember that. I remember him being like telling an interview or something, being like, I plan to sell everything one day. Like, that's my goal. Like, right now I sell books and like maybe a few other things. He might have sold CDs or something at that point too. But like, one day we're going to sell everything. It's going to be a store you come to for everything. And I remember being like, oh, sure, buddy. Like, I'm going to order everything on the internet. Like, that sounds like a bit, like, such a hassle. Just go into a store. Like, why would that change? Like,
now I'm stressing out because I'm like, fuck, I got an auto fucking delivery of my toilet paper, but it don't come. But I only got 2 rolls left. Can I make it or do I have to go to the fucking store? I'm
make these last.
That's a whole fucking hassle. Getting up, going out somewhere.
Yeah. It's the opposite.
Fucking seeing people just for that.
It's so weird. But that's the difference in mentality, dude. It's so crazy. Wait, I've been asked why I included MySpace in 1999. Oh, okay. MySpace didn't officially launch until 2003. I said 2000. Remember, I said I thought it was like 2003. It said it existed like as a website in 99. It didn't become a social networking site until like 2003. It was like a storage, virtual storage thing.
Because that was already gone by the time I got out.
Yeah, Facebook doesn't come around till way later, dude. I don't even think Facebook's around till like the late.
No, I'm saying when I got out though, that good whatever right? That one was. The MySpace was already gone.
MySpace was gone. You just missed MySpace. Completely missed it. You don't know what a top 8 is. We'll talk about the top 8 when we get to 2003. It comes out. We're not there yet.
We will be right back after this nonsense. Hey everybody, I'm a guy, and I'm rolling out looking for this dimension's greatest snacks, shanties, and sodas.
I'm over, and it's 7 a.m. on the way to work. This is the perfect place to go.
On this trip, we smoke a joint that's fresh, fast, and funky, and dinner gone wild.
Come here if you're hammered at 2 a.m.
We're doing food with a schizophrenic twist.
We got a menu just for you.
Lots of greens. William.
Now that's all coming up, right here on the Triple S, Snacks, Shanties, and Sodas.
Love McDonald's. I don't give a fuck. Like, I don't eat fast food. You same with Taco Bell. I don't eat it every day.
I see the burger, and they're like, I've had this burger since 1952, and it looks exactly the same. And I'm like, well, fucking eat it already, man. Don't be fucking sitting there. You know how if I lived there, it would be gone. I would have eaten that shit. I'm like, you ain't saving no fucking burger for 50 fucking years, motherfucker.
There are so many. There are so many things marketed as healthy that are preserved just as well as that fucking Big Mac. I'm sorry, preservatives are not fucking new. Okay, take a piece of beef jerky and see how long that'll last a long ass time too. So like, I don't know. I refuse to demonize fast food because I think demonizing fast food is demonizing poor people and it's classist and it's fucked up. Obviously, we shouldn't live on fast food. You know, obviously that's not ideal, but there are things such as food deserts, places where people live in like places where they don't have access, easy access to grocery stores and things like that. They eat a lot more McDonald's than I would, right? Because they don't have access. And I'm not going to sit here and say they're bad people for that. I don't get on the train of being like, oh, anybody eats McDonald's is yucky and all that shit. It's like, no, fuck that shit, dude. I have a big problem with people demonizing fast food. And it partially comes
from Island Commune,
where it was highly demonized because you all miss that shit so bad that you have to convince yourself it's disgusting. Order to live because you can't go get a fucking crunch wrap.
I'll eat a fucking 12 pack, no problem.
Not
man.
You. I'm not talking about you. I'm talking about
Island Commune
people. You know what I mean?
When a person's system eats another culture's food that their system is not necessarily attuned to, then because you're not getting those same, you know what I mean, things. This is like if you went, you're gonna get like some sort of problems.
Your body's gonna have digestive issues.
You know what I mean? Because they're like,
your body's
are
gonna
so
need to
not
adjust.
Used to this that it's yeah. But that's like if you went anywhere
that's
else
fair too.
And like just drank water. Like your body's just not necessarily used to what's in this. Doesn't mean it's like not.
Yeah. Yeah. But also I think there's a little bit, I mean, specifically, I do remember like every time the kids got off, they ate Big Macs and French fries and there was no problem. But when you're on
Island Commune,
it's this, you know what I mean? It's like, meh. I don't know. Maybe it was more of a teenage thing, but I do remember that. And I just remember when I got off
Island Commune
thinking like, you guys are just jealous that you can't go get curly fries at midnight. Like, I'm sorry. You all want curly fries at midnight. Like, fuck off. You know what I mean? Like, you guys say Jack in the Box is the devil, but like, you guys would be fucking macking the shit if you could. So, and then another one is people who were like, have you seen McNuggets? They're fucking pink slime.
Also delicious.
But that same person will go have, so same people will have a hot dog at a baseball game, which is also pink slime. Like, honestly, meat that has been crushed down into pink slime is not gross. Bologna,
it's not
hot dogs,
new,
fucking
it's not
chicken. There's
situation.
A million ways that
they've
pink
been doing
slime
that for centuries.
Delicious. Like, I'm not going to sit here and demonize it. Grinding up the stuff that doesn't look good and mixing it in with some spices that makes it taste better is like, that is as old as time itself, dude, when we had to use every part of the fucking animal. And people that are like, I don't eat those breasts, to me it comes off as class. It's like, oh, okay, you'll only eat the fucking breast of the chicken. Like, what the fuck are we supposed to do with the legs and the beaks and the tendons and the this and the fucking, what are we supposed to do? It's the same with people who won't feed their dogs dog food that has byproducts. It's like, what do you think wolves eat first? When a wolf kills a fucking deer, the first thing they
eat
are
all
those
fucking good nutrients. It knows what the good bits are,
dude. The shit that we don't like, because that's got the nutrient. I listened to a podcast about, you know, the grain-free diet and like blah 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 with dogs and like what you're supposed to feed them, and basically one of the consensus that they came out with as far as byproducts and stuff goes is that like we already have a food shortage in this world with humans eating the human grade meat, so like maybe, and it's proven not bad for our dogs, so maybe if you're feeding your dogs the human meat, you're actually kind of the problem, part of the problem. They shouldn't be eating that.
They don't
like
give
it's
a
ridiculous
fuck.
They're dogs. My dog ate my daughter's diarrhea the other day. Okay, like they don't, they in fact they like that nasty shit, dude. The funkier the better for a dog. Like, what the fuck? Anyway, if you handed the average dog, you had a chicken liver in one hand and a piece of chicken breast in the other, that liver is going for it. Like, that's the good shit to a dog. I mean, chicken breast is disgusting to me anyway also, but they're dry.
I made some bomb ass fucking mints. I'm gonna send you a butter mint recipe.
Okay.
Yeah, it's our fucking, came out amazing. It's so simple.
Yeah, please. With just regular mints, or are we talking?
Well, like wheat mints.
Edible mints.
Yeah, I made edible mints too.
Okay.
It's like, I mean, you could make it. You could make it. We made it with regular mints as well, but like.
Hell yeah, that's awesome, actually.
The recipe will also be available on our website there for listeners in the show notes.
In the show notes. Find our recipe for weed butter mints.
Guaranteed to cure hash lung.
I don't even know what that means. It's like you just smoked too much weed.
Yeah, it's just like when you smoke hash, like just constantly, like way too much over the course of like, it only takes a couple days. I smoked like a gram a day.
Oh, jeez.
And if you know fucking hash, it's a lot of fucking hash. I had all this fucking hash, and I'm like, oh, because usually, you know, you're like slivering it apart.
What?
Putting a little bit on a fucking bowl here and there, you know what I mean?
I guess. I haven't smoked hash since high school.
That's exactly what everyone says. I'm going to tell you, though, I'm only making hash now. I'm not making butter anymore. I'm only making hash.
What about edibles?
You can make the edibles out of the hash.
You can?
Yeah, I have no idea.
I have honestly no idea chemically, like, what the difference between hash and butter and shatter and wax and all that shit. Like, it's all... I know hash is different.
Hello, I am Dr. Deep Glop. What seems to be ailing you today?
Morning, Doctor. I'm worried about perhaps being jaundiced. I'm not really sure, though.
According to my visual scans, you don't appear to be jaundiced, but we'll take a look. Conferring to your chart, under past issues with medication, drugs. You put LSD as well as PCP. In the notes section, you replied simply, Devil Bat Wizard Beard. This does not compute. But we shall trace back to that later. First, what led you to contemplate you might be jaundice?
Well, I was out staring at the sun like I do every morning to recharge my 5G microbots for the cell towers. By the way, my cell service hasn't improved like the shop promised. I don't know who I should contact about that. But anyways, when I went back inside, everything looked really hurdy and tasted kind of yellow, so now I'm here.
This does not compute.
Don't ever come to me looking for a fucking good influence. Ever, dude. That's not my forte.
Dear Google, why is it when you crossbreed a gravy and a snake, the offspring seems to have natural fear of anchovies?
Was out there hashing it up again. Sorry about that.
No worries. I figured.
I got an update on the hash lung, though.
Yeah?
If you just smoke hash through the hash lung, that goes away. You're good to go. It's a point of no return. Just go. You just got to build up that hash over the larynx, and it's fucking good to go. Get a good fucking coating on there.
Yeah, it's got to coat it.
And then it's just like, it's good. Yeah, whatever. I still got so much fucking hash.
Really?
I made like an ounce of hash, dude.
I don't even know what you do with that. That's too much hash.
What do you mean?
I mean, I know you smoke it.
You're like, I know it's too much.
Have you ever made smash burgers? You have to use a griddle, like a flat surface or whatever. You just take the meat. You don't mix a bunch of shit in it. You just use some meat with some salt or whatever, and you throw it on there in a ball. And you take a spatula, like a metal spatula, and a press, and you fucking press that shit, and it gets these like caramelized edges of the burger, and it cooks in like 2 minutes, and you flip it for like 1 minute, put a piece of American cheese on it, and if you want a thicker burger, you make like two or three. They should all be very thin and like caramelized.
I got a new recipe. Check this out. This is an idea. I haven't done it. It might not work. But if it does, revolutionizes the whole industry of cooking in general on like a metaphorical level. You take baby corn, right? Get some of that hot, you know, like the Mexican spice. It's like lime and salt, tahini. So you toss it in that, right? Boom, 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 boom. Toss. Olive oil, some of that. Boom, 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 toss. Nope, what? Follow me. Toss it. Boom, right? And then sprinkle it with sprinkle cheese. That's what I call the Parmesan cheese that comes in the sprinkle bottle, right? Sprinkle some of that in there. Toss it around. Boom, boom, boom. Bake that. that off, right? Bake that off, right? You want to get those soft, right? You know, bake it off. You're just baking corn right now.
You're baking baby corn. It's not the same, but continue.
Dude, bro. Okay. All right. Well, you don't want to get the pickle kind. Just get the kind. Just the normal kind. Just the normal kind. Not the pickle kind.
I don't think I've ever had that. Okay. Right? I'm picturing.
Just the water because it. Okay. Not the pickle kind. Just the kind that comes in water. 100%
water. That still doesn't taste like corn. Right? Kernels.
It is a corn. It's like a sweet corn. Anyway, so you take that, right? And then you take toothpicks and you put them in there. Boom. You know what you got right there? A little bit of dipping sauce. Miniature street corn appetizer. What do you think about that? I think that's I'm gonna make a truck right now.
I think using olive oil is the worst fucking choice. You should obviously be using mayonnaise if you're making street corn.
No, you dip it. You dip it because you toss it and bacon in there, so it crustifies around it. All of the
still use mayonnaise the
flavors, right?
Still have fat.
No, maybe perhaps if you wanted, or sour cream as a dipping sauce, you could. You leave it on the sheet pan after you've baked it, right? And you cooled it and you've skewered it, then you drizzle it.
My worry about it is that baby corns don't taste enough corn like. But I don't know if I've ever had them not pickled, now that you say that.
With a creme fraiche. You creme drizzle fresh? It with a creme fraiche.
Mayonnaise.
It gives you illusion of the mayonnaise.
We ran out of mayonnaise a few days ago, and it was like, I had to make an emergency run because we literally felt its absence within like 4 hours of running out of it. I feel
disturbance in the force. There's no mayonnaise in the fridge.
I think... Okay, if the baby corn tastes like corn, which I still, right. It really tastes
like corn, like a baby corn.
I think I've only had the pickled kind that come on like salads, actually, now that I think about it. Anyway.
Yeah, that kind of just comes
in
water.
I would do like, I don't know why you're baking them either. Because if you get like a corn cup, like a latte, it's not hot.
Right. It's got some crisp to it. It's got some crisp to it. No way you're cooling these. I think the reason that I am cooking them is to like soften them more, to cook them more than they come. Because when you get them in the can with the water.
Do they need to be cooked?
They're essentially the same texture as the pickle. I would say so.
Oh, they're the same texture.
They don't need to be cooked. You can eat them like that.
Yeah, it's not the same crunch.
Right. It's just to lessen the crunch. I'm trying to get more closer to the crunch.
I would probably like blanch them or something instead to make it more like the corn that you would use.
We can blanch them.
Because I feel like.
But then I was trying to encrust and caramelize those sweet, savory, spicy, salty flavors onto the baby corn.
This podcast made possible by parents and potheads like you, and our sponsor, Ride Tight Gravy, the only fully portable gravy bath available today, made of interconnected chambers that attaches at hip and waist, to create our famous gravy Ride Tight Lock system that allows full gravy immersion while on the go. Say goodbye to the days of being stuck inside and hello to extravagance with the Ride Tight Gravy Bath. Ride Tight Gravy, in an ever-changing world, gravy designed with you in mind. Don't forget to use the code WXTY2ES124583.promo/.org.com at checkout and get one bottle for the price of two.
And now back to your regularly scheduled nonsense.
Do you want to talk about the words that were coming in the B?
Yeah, what do we got? What kind of words? What words do we have entering
into the... Dude, so
many
words. First of all, I just want to let everybody know that Merriam-Webster has a thing called Time Traveler, where you can search a year and go back and look at what words came that... Like, you go look at your birth year or whatever. We've got, we've got some, like, avian dinosaur, some, like, scientific one, yellow-legged hornet, you know? Shit like that. But also bling was
bling.
Added.
Bling. They added bling to the dictionary.
Yeah.
Does it mean like bling? Yep. Like we know it today?
So it used to be like an onomatopoeia, right? Like it was the sound that something made. Bling, bling, bling. Like you know, but it wasn't until like that Lil Wayne song.
That people started.
Where it became like a word for like jewelry that is meant to show wealth, show off what you have, which is what bling is. So I don't know. I thought that was pretty cool. Blog, blogger, and blogosphere.
Blogosphere.
All entered.
What's a blogosphere?
I mean, I'm assuming the blogosphere is like...
That sounds pretty fucking sweet. That sounds like interdimensional shit right there. I'm on board with the blogosphere. Now entering the blogosphere.
All of the blogs or bloggers on the internet regarded collectively.
We are one collective.
So when you're talking about...
Come and join us. No one says you're going to join
like
a cult.
The fucking,
I was just joining the blogosphere.
It sounds like Borg.
What was I supposed to do?
If you were a blogger, you were in the blogosphere. Blog is starting to lose all meaning.
Bling.
Carbon.
So bling and blog were added.
Bling and blog. Bling, blog, blogger.
Bling,
blog, and blogger.
Bing, blog.
Bling, blog,
Bing,
and blogger.
Blog, and blogger were all added.
It sounds like three mean brothers in a Roald Dahl book. You know what
totally.
I mean? Doesn't it? Carbon footprint and clickbait also both joined Dictionary. It's weird. Clickbait.
They had no idea.
I know,
they thought
dude.
That was just like.
The term come to Jesus moment was added that year as a term. Come to Jesus moment. I guess that wasn't a thing.
It seems like Jesus had been around for a while at that point.
To be fair, it could have been a very old saying in like a certain part of the country and it just didn't make its way all the way to like being in the dictionary until now. Cord cutting, which surprisingly early cord cutting because we didn't have
streaming. So what were you cutting your cords for?
So what?
Nothing.
What were you cutting your cords from?
So you're just like living on the land.
I mean,
the cord at that point just meant like you were living out in the woods. Definition completely different.
Let's see. The act or process of canceling a subscription to cable television and or a landline. So I guess, no, that's it technically means like literally canceling cable TV and canceling your landline. So this is when that shit started to
happen.
What
were you using? Satellite for the cable TV, I would imagine. What for the phone though? What kind of phone service? A cell phone back in those days?
Like maybe that's when people started to get enough cell phones.
Battery life they had back then, like 20 minutes?
I don't know, dude. Honestly, this makes me want to like go down a rabbit hole and find out like why it's so early. I mean, I would just assume that that term would come around in like 2006 or something. You know what I mean? Like when streaming is more of a thing and people who know how to use the internet are growing up. Hoarding disorder made its way into the thing, was not a thing.
Now we have TV shows about it. That's how we've progressed.
I know. I love those TV shows. K-pop was coined.
Nice.
Yep.
Still going K-pop. Big. Still going big. Yep.
Bigger than ever. I didn't hear about K-pop until at least 10 years after this, if not longer. Like, I had no fucking idea. Texting came into the dictionary at this point. Makes sense.
You know how you texted back in 99 if you had a cell phone?
You didn't, what? Not even T9.
You know how bulky those things were. You know, the battery only lasted like 20, yeah. 30 minutes if you're lucky. So what you do is, right? So it just had like the regular like pager screen type, just little beep boop. Like you'd see on like a baby monitor or something like that. Just a very rudimentary like green screen. It just had the keypad and then you just have to hold, you know, the keypad has A, B, C, D, E, F on all the things.
You didn't hold it. You had to press it.
You
that
had to
many
hold
times.
It and then you, yeah, and then you go toot and then you click it to which one you wanted it and then you release and then you click it and you click through it and then click it. It was like a fucking.
Why are you saying this like that's how it was when I got my first cell phone like years later.
I assume they improved that.
No, dude. I mean, you didn't have to hold it.
What do you mean you didn't have to hold it?
Well, first of all, at this point, there were no flip phones at this point. We're still candy bar mode. Remember I told you? We're not even to candy bar mode. These still have a little, I mean, they're like big fat candy bars. It's still have an antenna, an external antenna. Okay. So this is way back in the day. But yeah, it was the 9 button screen with the 0 and the pound sign, which is what we called the hashtag back in the day. The pound sign and the asterisk, remember, on either side of the 0. And one of them didn't have any numbers, was it, or letters, was it 1? Yeah, 1 has nothing. 1 would be like period, question mark, exclamation point. Pressed it once, it would be a period. If you press it twice, it'd be an exclamation point. Like shit like that. Like they would use it for other things. That is how we all texted for a long ass time while you were in prison. Is that how pagers worked? Because that's the one thing is I don't know how people ever sent messages over pager. I never remember seeing buttons.
So I didn't necessarily use my pager for the proper uses of a pager. Actually, I did. I received a lot of messages from payphones, put it that way. And we still had payphones back then too. But anyways, yeah. So you just like a predetermined. So if you could leave a number, like a callback number, and then you could leave. Like usually they had like a star system
that is so complicated
that you could attach to it. So then when you got, you would get the number,
so
and then you
like
get the
boobs.
Star system.
Remember in calculators you type out boobs.
But you would, so you could put like, you know, I mean, like 2 stars or 3 stars. So the urgency of the call, or
so
you
gotta
could
use
put
the
like
number.
Or you could put like your number and then like 911. Like this is an emergency. Please call back.
Well, no, that's how we did it. At some point, there's going to be a thing called T9 that comes out, which is the sort of predictive texting, which now that I'm thinking about it, you completely missed. By the time you got out of prison, we had gone from typing on the number pad to having a full on keyboard on every phone, right? Like at least when you got out, there was at least like a physical keyboard, if not touchscreen.
screen keyboards. I don't remember.
Yeah, when I got out, I got it had it, it like slid.
Tactile one. Actually, yes, I know exactly what you're talking about. There was a time when I didn't want to get a smartphone because I had a BlackBerry, which had a tactile keyboard, and I was like, there's these stupid touchscreen keyboards are so dumb. Like, I'm never gonna want one of those. How do you know if you even press the button? It's so weird because I can't imagine the bulkiness of having a fucking tactile keyboard at this point.
And so when I got my phone, it was like, you know, like in 2011, my phone still wouldn't connect to like, it would connect to the internet, but not really very well. Like, cause I got like on Facebook and stuff like that. You could text your posts to Facebook from your phone.
That's so funny. Oh my God. You completely missed T9. That's one of the things we can put on the list of things you missed. T9 was this thing. T9 was like a program in your phone where instead of having to like press the button a bunch of times, it was like predictive. Like if I was typing and, usually I would have to hit 2 once for the A. I would have to hit 6 twice to get to the N, and I would have to hit 3 once to get to the D, right? So if I was doing it with T9, you just put 2, 6, 3 and it can tell what you're trying to say. So like even for longer words, it was actually really nice. It cut a lot of boop, 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 because you'd have to hit the, remember if you wanted an S, you had to hit 7 4 times. That's how it was. You didn't have to hold it down the way you were talking about, but yeah, we had to like press each button. Like, ugh, it was such a pain in the ass.
Come on, boys and girls. Let's get up and have some fun with Cosmo the Clown.
Storytime with Cosmo the Clown presents The Durkle Brothers by Cold Shoal. My friends and I had come across a loose floorboard at the back of the abandoned warehouse, and when we pried it up with the blade of a pocket knife, we discovered a big hollow space underneath. This, we decided, would be our secret hiding place for sweets and other small treasures. Every afternoon, when the last lesson was over, we would wait until the streets had emptied, then we would lift up the floorboard and examine our secret hoard. One day, when we lifted it up, we found a bag of weed lying among our treasures. It was an exciting discovery. Twats took it out by its edge and waved it in front of our faces.
What shall we do with it?
He cried.
It stinks. Throw it out the window quick.
Someone else shouted. Hold on a tick, I said. Don't throw it away. Twats hesitated. I then went on to tell them how we could smoke half and sell the other half to the Durkle Brothers Bling, Blog, Bloat. Stay tuned to hear what happens next on Storytime with Cosmo the Clown, brought to you by Limited Intelligence.
So let's look at games.
Oh, yeah?
From 1999. Games.
Yeah,
games.
Did you see
Tony Hawk?
Brand
new games that came out. I didn't see Tony Hawk. I did see the console.
Yes.
I had the console. The Sega Dreamcast did come out. It was fucking amazing.
I know.
Did connect to the internet.
It was before its time,
dude. CD-ROM. Wait. Fucking bomb, dude. Way before. Sega, just in general, before its time.
Yeah.
64-bit systems. Just, it's not even a company anymore, I don't believe.
Did they get bought? I mean.
I think it's just been parted out. But they jumped ahead of everybody. Like, too far ahead of everybody. And they just slammed. Yeah, they just got slammed for it.
Dreamcast, then revolutionary built-in modem. Apparently Sega was like burning bridges and pissing people off and shit, and that might have been one of the things that like shut them down. Yeah, apparently they were not easy to work with. Yeah, I guess. I don't know, like Sonic is on Nintendo now, so I think, I don't know, like Nintendo bought that. I don't know if they bought all of Sega's like things and they just incorporated all, or if they just bought Sonic.
For Nintendo?
The Game Boy Color came out.
The Game Boy Color came
out in 99.
Out Game Boy, but you know what makes this so, and this blew my mind because I totally forgot about this. This little detail of technology that we take so much for granted. I remember the big deal about the Color was not just that it was a screen in color, but it is that you could go outside and play it. Because the sun, the natural light on the old screens before they had that, the screen that every screen in the world has now, before that screen, any sort of sunlight would just bleach
that.
It all out. You wouldn't be able to see anything. You wouldn't be able to play your game outside. You'd try to, if
your
you did, you had to like get under like your jacket. You would like make a little tent.
My arms in my shirt and pulling my shirt up so that I could play like in the car. And
it just seems like such a crazy concept. Like imagine your phone. Imagine if you couldn't go outside and you're like, I've got to go inside and check my phone.
Game Boy sold a little thing that connected to it that was like a little shade that you could buy.
Yeah, a little screen. I remember that.
Yeah.
Like an extra little like UV match the color. I remember those. It's just such a weird concept to think like, I can't use this outside. Well, fucking why is it portable? Can't go outside with it. It's just,
I can't wait till we get to touch screen.
I am curious when the touch screen came into being.
Yeah.
Because when I got out, it was like,
well, touch screen existed, right? I watched the presentation. It was like a tech presentation. It wasn't like a TED Talk, but it was that type of thing.
thing where people like present new tech. And I can't remember what company it was. It might have been Apple. I don't, honestly, it might have been the iPhone that did it first. I don't know. But I remember them showing two finger touch for the very first time. And that was the thing that was like crazy because we had touch. Like, well, think about like the ATM machine has that really simple, still today, you'll see those simple touch screens or like if you use like a.
Here, okay, here's, check this out. I go to an ATM machine, probably, right? It's a 50-50 chance of what kind of ATM machine I get. One, I get an ATM machine that kind of resembles one today, right? Except for no touch screen, buttons on the side.
Yeah.
Physical buttons. Or it's an older gas station or something I'm at, right? And it has the little tubes still. And the little tubes roll down with 20s in them. You take the 20 out of the tube, and then there's a little tube receptacle on the side.
Oh, you throw the little tube back in the receptacle. Drive-thru?
No, at a gas station.
But it was like the bank thing, right? It's like that same technology?
Kind of, yeah. Except for there were just tiny, tiny little tubes. Just enough to fit. They were like shotgun shells, except for the shotgun shells were filled with 20s. And they just went... You took your 20s out, how much you wanted.
I've never seen that before. But then again, I didn't use ATMs till way into the 2000s, so I wouldn't know. That's crazy.
Harry Potter came out at some point during this thing. And the only way I know this is the reference I have is because I've seen someone get stabbed over, what is it, the Sorcerer in the Stone or the, what is it? It was like a third book or something.
Yeah, Sorcerer's Stone.
Because somebody borrowed the book, but they were taking too long to read it. So the guy went up there and stabbed him and took the book. I says, hey, what did they stab him for? And he says, ah, he's fucking the Harry Potter book. And I says, what the fuck is that? And that's how I know about Harry Potter.
Oh my God, that is so creepy. I thought you were talking about like a movie.
No, that's how I
know
about Harry Potter.
And then I realized you mean you literally watched the man get
and then I was like, that's how I learned about Harry Potter.
That had to have been the later one because I just looked it up in the book. The first book came out in 97. So yeah, I'm sure whoever that prisoner was probably really into the series and had waited like a
year. It's hard to get good reading material in there, you know what I mean? So.
Is it? There's not so many.
Not a lot of books.
Book copies.
Welcome to Prison Etiquette and Deformed Decorum Training Programs. Prison Etiquette and Deformed Decorum focus on social and dining etiquette skills, which help build self-confidence and fosters respect for others. Our specially designed, captivating, and interactive training curriculum promotes the awareness that social presentation and proper behavior are important in the development of highly respectable inmates. Always remember, proper etiquette is important even when kept in small quarters behind a solid steel door for 23 hours or more per day with little to no contact with other human beings. Today's lesson.
If you borrow something, take care to return said item in its original condition at the agreed upon time. A violent fee may be imposed for this violation of etiquette.
Welcome to the Pop Culture Placebo, PCP podcast, your ultimate destination for all things pop culture, with weekly episodes hosted by Lisa Ledesma, Peter Vinson, and Devin Baker. Our podcast offers unique and in-depth interviews, socially rich cultural insights, and the latest pop culture trends. Our sarcastic humor and witty commentary provide rare glimpses into the foolish folly of our world, making us a must-listen for pop culture junkies and casual fans alike. With a diverse range of shows and topics, the Pop Culture Placebo, PCP podcast is your go-to source for informative information and entertainment. Listen, like, and share our podcast, available on all major platforms, and join the conversation. Follow us on social media and subscribe to our channel for the latest news and updates. Optimize your listening experience with the Pop Culture Placebo, PCP podcast, the definitive guide to all things pop culture. You can always find your PCP podcast fix at Spotify, Google Podcasts, CastBox, Deezer, iHeartRadio, Podchaser, Radio Public, Anchor, Amazon Music, Pocket Casts, Stitcher, or from your normal podcast hookup.